This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for an art experience focused on an unusual canvas, a classic musical set at the turn of the 20th century, or a kids' musical that brings beloved characters to life, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. I'm your host, Diane Mack. Taja Olson is an African artist from Malawi. Her bold, bright colors will immediately draw you to her work. But it is her canvas that will make you do a double take, as it is her face. A face that morphs into goddesses from her homeland and beyond. Each a different character documented in photographs. Now on view at Angela King Gallery. Taja Olson is here. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Dan. Thanks for having me.
Wow. That was my initial reaction when I saw your work. The colors definitely pop. What was your inspiration?
I've always found tribes really beautiful. Tribes in Africa, well, tribes actually globally. I got inspired by them. And for a while, I was studying tribes. And then I went on researching African names from different tribes and what they meant, because I wanted to name each of my pieces after them. So that went on to the goddesses and warriors that I've never had a clue about or learned about in history. And so my inspiration came from all these women and chiefs and, you know, from West Africa, from Southern Africa. It just blew my mind.
So Taja, when we walk into the Angela King Gallery, what will we see? Take us on your journey.
Well, you're going to see my performance photo images printed on metal, from 40 by 60 to 30 by 40 to 16 by 24, all images of me in different characters. Each image has a story to it. If it's a goddess, if it's a warrior, it's an African queen.
Among the works, is there a favorite?
The moon goddess is this 40 by 60 metal print that you cannot miss. And it's all me in just gold. And she's the moon goddess.
I've seen that one. It's incredible.
Thank you.
And tell us about yourself. Who is Taja Olson?
I'm from Malawi, and I was raised in Malawi. I was adopted. My Canadian father adopted me at 7, and we moved to Namibia. My parents live in Zambia. I live in Canada right now. I started at Emily Carr University in Vancouver, BC, got my bachelor's in fine arts. I'm an African dancer as well. I do lots of performance art. I teach African street dance as well. And I'm just always trying to empower women in dance and in art.
And you use the performance art, your dance.
My dance.
To inform the photographs.
Yes. When I put on my face paintings, I'm a different character and I feel like I could be one of these women. So, yeah, I guess that's part of my inspiration.
So describe your process for us.
So when I paint my face, I imagine what character I'm trying to be. Either it's a goddess or like, you know, a warrior. I don't think of a specific color that I'm going to put on. I just go with it. It just comes naturally. But I think of behavior. I think of just how to mimic what I envision I can be if I was this.
What was it that prompted you to use your face as a canvas?
Because it was an experiment after university. I started off with just I want to experiment, so I'll just have two marks on my face. And I'm like, oh, let me go further than that. And then just went on and went on. And then from paint, I started using clay, mud, twigs, glitter, everything.
How long does it take for you to embody one of these goddesses?
Some can take anywhere from 5 hours to 12. Yeah, because it works, and sometimes it doesn't work. As many times it hasn't worked. I never rub it off. I just keep going with it. So you'll find in some images that I'll have so much paint because it didn't work. And then I'm like, okay, you know what? Let's just put clay on top of it. Whatever, and then that becomes totally something else I never expected.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So it's like putting on layers. It really is a canvas.
Yeah, exactly. And it takes forever to wash it off. And I've had even tree branches that I've stuck on my face and flowers and just, yeah, you just keep going with it.
And the colors that you use, they're vibrant. They're bold.
Vibrant just always reminds me of Africa, I think.
What are some of your favorites?
Yellow, oranges, and blues are my favorite. Golds. Yeah, just vibrant colors.
Now, once you put on all these vibrant colors, you dance?
I've been videotaped dancing, yes. And sometimes we go outside and take the photos outside in the woods, and that's where you see me possibly doing like simple African dance moves and just really getting into the character. Sometimes it's not even dance. Sometimes I'll just walk around and actually just get into the character and just feel the whole experience.
What will be most memorable from this exhibit?
People's reactions when they realize it's me in all the photographs. It's funny when people walk in because they don't realize it's me until somebody says something and they're like, oh my God. That's the exciting thing about this is that this whole experience with my face, not many people realize what you could do with your own body. And that's what, yeah, it's been exciting for me. It's just you discover so much, and as you age as well, it changes.
Where do you see your artwork going?
In the future, I'd like to experiment with different materials. I'm always going to have vibrant colors, but it's just different, more costumey with the face paints. So making more head structures, more textile body dresses and stuff like that. Yeah, along with the face paints and along with dance performance as well. The photos in motion is where I would like to experiment with.
Artist Taja Olson, it's been a pleasure talking with
Thank you so much.
Taja Olson's photographs are currently on exhibit at Angela King Gallery, 241 Royal Street in the French Quarter. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. Summer Lyric Theater at Tulane continues its 51st season with the Tony Award-winning Ragtime, the musical, a timeless celebration of life based on the novel by E.L. Doctorow, is celebrating its 20th anniversary. Artistic director Michael McKelvey joins us with actors Leslie Caste and Brandon Nace. Welcome back.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Tell me, why did you choose to mount a production of this classic work?
This is Michael. First of all, Summer Lyric has never done the work, and to me, it is one of the new classics of the musical theater canon. So for a company that professes its love for full orchestras and classic musical theater, this just seemed like the logical piece to do. Plus, it's very appropriate for what's going on with today's political climate.
How so? Let's expand the storyline here.
There are three storylines with about six or seven sub-storylines going on, but it's all about America at the turn of the 20th century, and America being the melting pot with thousands of immigrants coming in every week into Ellis Island. It's also the age of flight. It's the beginning of the automobile industry. And we're seeing, especially in the Northeast, this intersection of so many different ethnicities and cultures coming together to form our country in an age when we're talking about the wall and how we're treating immigrants and dreamers. I can't think of any musical that is more appropriate to mount at this time.
So, Leslie and Brandon, you are actors in the cast. Tell us about your characters and what attracted you.
I play the role of Mother. It's an archetypal character. There's a family who are upper middle class white Americans living happily at the turn of the century in New Rochelle, New York. We're not given names. We're fictional family penned by Doctorow. At the same time, we come into contact with characters like Harry Houdini, J.P. Morgan, Henry Ford, all these union activists, Emma Goldman, vaudeville star Evelyn Nesbitt, who's a real, she was the first Kardashian, if you want to say. She was part of a big crime of the century scandal, and I love in the opening number, she sings a song entitled The Crime of the Century. And yet we have 94 years to go, you know, to see if anyone's going to top that. And I think we actually can say in that century, it was topped by several trials thereafter. Mother is a very stay-at-home mom. She raises her son. She's very happy. She's very secure. She's very protected. And her husband is an explorer and goes off on an expedition to the North Pole. And when he leaves her to care for her family and their family business at the same time, her eyes are open and she becomes more of a modern woman. She relishes her independence and she's taught to think things for herself and to make her own decisions. And she sort of blossoms and she's sort of the symbol of a new awakening of the century, I think.
This is Brandon. I play Colas Walker Jr. He's an African-American musician in the time. He's educated. He's put in the hard work, so he's good to go. He's a pianist. He's living his life. There's a woman in his life, Sarah, who he kind of let go to the wayside, and he's trying to win her back. And then things kind of start to happen that kind of rock his world a bit in a sense of what he thought about justice, what he thought about his ability to just function in society as a man who is educated, almost not realizing he's not just a man who's educated. He is an African-American man who's educated. And in that time, that wasn't necessarily looked upon positively. Playing the role of Cole House, I connect to it on a deeply personal level. I was born and raised in a small town in Texas and kind of felt that same way. You know, I was just a man. I didn't talk a certain way. I didn't dress a certain way. And I kind of looked down on, honestly, other African-Americans who didn't act the way that I did and just thought, you know, you have the same opportunities that I do and you're just choosing to live a different life and that's on you. And then as I got older and matured and started to see the world in different places, not just in small town Texas, my eyes were kind of open to the realization that we all don't have the same opportunities. And just because I might have been given different opportunities than other African-American people, that doesn't make me better than them. And then also in 2016, to see things unfold, countless African-American men gunned down, for me, it was absolutely just a switch of, I grew up thinking a certain way, and that way of thinking was incorrect. I was socialized to think that way, and it wasn't correct. And ultimately, in Ragtime, Cole House has the exact same realization. For me, it came at the cost of people's lives that were far away from me. But for Cole House, it comes at the loss of life for someone who is very close to him, who means a great deal to him, and that ultimately undoes him completely.
Would you say your character is the moral backbone of this production?
This is Michael. I think Cole House is a conscience of Ragtime, where I think Sarah, the woman in his life, is the heart. And then Mother is really the glue that kind of keeps us all together. She's the common thread to all the stories that we seem to come back to her. She's the one that cares for Sarah's child. She's the one that helps nurture the relationship of Sarah and Cole House and their road back to each other. And there's another character we encounter named Tate, who's an immigrant who will eventually become extremely successful. But they strike up a friendship early on, and it reminds her again of this journey she's taken of seeing all different facets of society. So that's how I view it as I go in as director. I try to find the place of each of these characters and what their purpose is to the overall story.
Yeah, I love the show, and I love the way Dr. O has written these three main storylines. You have a poor immigrant who arrives in America pursuing the American dream, who ultimately succeeds and becomes very successful. And then you have Cole House, an African-American character, also pursuing the same American dream, who does not succeed. And then you have Mother, a person who doesn't even know she's pursuing the American dream, who rises up to a situation and grasps her own independence, and through love and through just common empathy and compassion finds a new way to live in the century.
What would you say will be most memorable for audiences?
40 powerhouse singers.
26 people in the pit, 38 people on stage, countless people working behind the scenes, some of the most beautiful costumes you'll ever see.
They are the original Broadway costumes.
Yeah. It's just overwhelming how many things the audience will be able to look upon and hear The score itself, I believe, is one of the finest scores crafted for the musical theater stage in at least the past 30 years, if not the past 50 years.
Almost every single song is an 11 o'clock production number.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have offstage choral voices, you know, supporting the soloists on stage. You have great dances. You have unbelievable songs and music, you know, that tell the story, that you're going to feel things.
Aarons and Flaherty's work, in my personal opinion, this is their best work they have ever done, and it's incredible.
Who else is in the cast?
Oh, my Lord. Kevin Murphy is our third leading character, and he plays Tata, the Jewish immigrant. Karis Goulash is playing Sarah. She's beautiful. She's singing the heck out of this role. Bryce Slocum, Bob Pavlovich, who WWNO listeners should know very well. Leslie Clavery plays the Emma Goldman. Ron Flagg is playing Booker T. Washington. Keith Clavery, Henry Ford. A.J. Allegra, the artistic director of NOLA Project, is playing Harry Houdini. Maggie Windler is Evelyn Nesbitt. Adam Seagrave is J.P. Morgan. I mean, it just goes on. And we're just so flattered that we were able to get this much talent in this production.
Wow. Summer Lyric Theater, artistic director Michael McKelvey, actress Leslie Castay, and actor Brandon Nice. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Diane.
Summer Lyric Theater presents Ragtime with performances running July 12th through 15th at Tulane University's Dixon Hall. Now, do you know Elephant and Piggy? Well, kids of a certain age do, and Southern Rep Theater continues its run of the vaudevillian romp Elephant and Piggies, We Are in a Play, which takes youngsters on a musical journey with children's author Mo Willems characters. Joining me from Southern Rep is producer Helen Jacks, joined by actors Von Derek Taylor and Shelby Dewey. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This sounds like so much fun for the younger set, and you bring to life characters from a beloved children's author who has ties to New Orleans, Mo Willems.
Yes, exactly. This is Helen. When we were trying to think about what children's play we could bring to the city of New Orleans, not only is Elephant and Piggies, We Are in a Play, a really fun, exciting play with lots of connections to theater and music, but Mo Willems is from here. And actually, director Becca Chapman teaches at Trinity School, which is one of Mo Willems' alma mater. So it was all a kind of beautiful connective tissue that brought us to this play.
So introduce us to Elephant and Piggy. Who are they?
Elephant and Piggy. They're really, really fun characters. The book is about an elephant and a piggy. The elephant's name is Elephant Gerald, and Piggy's name is just Piggy. And I play Piggy, and Von Derek here plays Gerald the elephant.
Yes. Each part of the play shows a life story that shapes some form of understanding of this world, fun, of joy, of play, of childhood. It's a really good time.
Take us on that journey. What are some of the themes that are being explored in this musical?
The number one theme, like more than anything else, is friendship.
Sharing, caring, and knowing that no matter what, they have each other at the end of the day.
You know, they go on a journey, they have a lot of fun, and then they have kind of a conflict, and then they resolve it, and then just overall, they understand that the most important thing between the two of them is their friendship for each other.
Is there something you can share from the production?
Of course.
So the very first opening song of the play is I'm glad to see you here. And they meet each other after, you know, searching for one another. And so they've just been like, oh, yes, this is a great friendship that we have. Glad to see you. What are we going to do today?
Piggy, I'm so excited.
I am so excited, Gerald. In fact, I am even more excited than you are.
That's impossible.
Possible. And do you know why I am so excited?
I do not.
I'm excited because I have no idea what's going to happen today.
Me too. I mean, I... Whoa, hubba, what? You're excited because you don't know what's going to happen today?
Sure. Think about it. Anything is possible. We could skip, 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 skip.
Really? Skip, 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 skip.
Sure. Or we could play ping pong. Ping pong, ping pong.
Unbelievable. Ping pong, ping pong.
Or we could even wear silly hats today.
It's almost too much to hope for. Bing!
What are kids likely to learn or take away from this silly journey?
Pure joy. When I was backstage and we were about to start our first run, just hearing the kids' voice and the screaming and the joy.
The show came from the books, and they've fallen in love with these characters. And to see them come on the stage and come to life, I can only imagine. It's like when you go to Disney World and you see the characters that you've seen in the movies and you see them in person and they're there and they're communicating with you. And it's really, really great.
I love what Shelby is saying, that it's kind of based off the books. Mo Willems wrote a book called Elephant and Piggies, We Are in a Book. And so this is kind of the play version. And so I also hope, in addition to all of these other wonderful lessons and experiences with the characters that they get to have, that young people, you know, learn to love theater too. Like, theater is for them, and they can be in this space and talk back and sing and dance and laugh with us. And hopefully, if this is their first play, I hope it's the first of many.
Producer Helen Jacks and actors Von Derek Taylor and Shelby Dewey. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Elephant and Piggies, We Are in a Play continues its run with final performances on Friday at 12:30 p.m. and Saturday at 11 a.m. at Loyola University's Marquette Theater. That's our show for this week. Support for Inside the Arts comes from the Hellas Foundation and from Christwood Retirement Center in Covington. Our program is a production of WWNO and is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette on Tuesdays at 1 p.m., Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m., and a shortened edition on Thursday mornings at 8:45, when we'll go inside the arts. I'm Diane Mack.